We need to talk.
We need to talk.
We need to talk about the All Blacks. So many different points of view regarding this first 15 and the 8 on the bench when it comes to playing Australia. The Bledisloe Cup, Sydney, tomorrow night. It's going to be live on Radio Sport. Richie McCaw is going to break the world record for most test matches this weekend, 142 tests. Not that really, I don't think he's that concerned about it, but we should be. We should be because it's just another occasion, isn't it, where we can stand and salute. Would we ever appreciate really the magnitude of what this guy has achieved already? And who knows where it ends for him. He might be the only captain ever in the history of world rugby to raise that World Cup twice. Let's hope so. A couple of texts are coming in saying, is he really going to retire or is it just a media thing? Oh, for God's sake, really? Go and look in the mirror and slap yourself if you're really seriously asking that question. Come on! Goodness sake, he has indicated, he has said it the whole time. He's not actually going to say the word, I am retiring after the World Cup, because he doesn't want to put the full stop on it. He doesn't want to jinx it. He doesn't want to do what's called the Devlin curse to it. He just wants to play the next game. And he is very realistic about that. We'll talk about him. We'll talk about Dan Carter. Does he deserve his place? Victor Vito comes in at 6. What does that mean for Liam Messam? Try and make sense of all of this. Gary Denver in the studio with us.
We need to talk.
Graham Beasley, Sports Freak website out of Wellington, joins us. Graham, good morning.
Good morning, how are we?
Okay, we'll make head nor tail or sense or common something out of this. I mean, tell me why. I don't like Mondays. Tell me why we have got Victor Vito in at 6 instead of Jerome.
It does seem strange. Vito, I mean, he didn't play at 6 for the Hurricanes this year, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Is number 6 going to be the new number 13 when it comes to Rugby World Cup campaigns? Do we have to play someone out of position?
Oh, don't see. Mm. Well, why did you have to bring that old chestnut up?
Bring the old number 13 up. You know who I'd like to see at 6?
Oh, I know, Conrad Smith.
Nah, Ben Smith, he plays everywhere, mate.
Oh, sorry. Who then, Graham?
Richie McCaw.
Why?
Before, and just give us that extra bit of speed around the park, which is what we really missed in Sydney. Because you could play Kane, and you have McCaw at 6. Where did Michael Jones end up playing?
Okay, yeah, good point.
That's a concession to age, though, isn't it?
It's a concession to his knee, remember? He was the first to do that whole thing where he busted both cruciate and...
No, but for Richie,
interior and anterior, wasn't it?
It would be a concession to age for Richie because he was...
But has he slowed down that much, Gaz?
I think he has, to be fair, from his peak, but he's no slouch.
Did I say interior and anterior? Did I?
I think you'll find one's a medial and
one's I think one's a posterior and one's an anterior. But anyway... I'm not a medical man. He has slowed down.
Not.
He has slowed down, sure. Yeah, well, so's no, Holoy's not either, and he's put some wild roast pork on his knee and cured it.
Yeah, I know. Look, it's amazing what that herbal remedy can do. I back it. It would fix my adamantium skeleton as well.
Yeah. Graham, let's be honest
about
it. Look, I saw the program on Garincha the other day, one of the greatest players ever to play football, whose knees were all bent and funny, and he wouldn't go to a doctor. He wanted to go to a herbal curist as well, and that didn't work.
Well, the herbal curist worked for those Chinese swimmers, didn't it?
Worked for Lance Armstrong.
For them as well.
I mean, I don't want to belittle the guy, but come on, son. The reason that it's called modern medicine is because it's called medicine and it's modern, isn't it?
As much as a Highlander supporter, I want it to be true, but you know the reality of it is I can't see it.
Another issue then. Let's talk, Graham.
We need to talk.
Dan Carter at 10. How many more times does he deserve that spot?
It's tricky, isn't it? Because he hasn't played that much this season. So there is that argument that he needs as much game time as he can possibly get. On the other hand, I'd have liked to see Sopoanga get another go.
Yeah, well, he needs the game time as well, doesn't he, if he becomes the top number 10. So what do you do?
He will get game time, lads. He will play against both Georgia, Antigua, Trinidad and Tobago and Madagascar at the World Cup. Okay? He will get those games. Honestly,
against Manawa too.
I wouldn't be surprised if he even starts against Argentina, Graham.
Well, there is that one, isn't there? They still don't really know what they're doing, I think, with those last sort of back positions. I'm interested to see that Slade rather than Barrett is the guy that gets 10 minutes towards the end of this game. So they're obviously sort of keeping him warm. I don't think they know what to do.
Okay, let's talk about that before we get on to Messam then, boys. Because as Wingrove said in his column this morning, and it's a great column, I mean, there's so many questions raised by those that aren't selected here, Gaz. TJ, Colin Slade and Malachi, I think that is the... barring injury, best three bench backs for any game in the World Cup.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it? That's a pretty talented mob, having those coming off the bench with maybe 20, 25 minutes to play, the impact that brings.
Well, okay, apart from Bowden playing in Colin Slade's spot. I mean, that's six of one, half dozen of the other, isn't it? Bowden Barrett's going to give you more on attack. Colin Slade probably a little bit more in the consistency department.
Yeah.
And goal kicking.
Well, goal kicking's not important at World Cups, Graham.
That's right.
Yeah.
Never wins anyone at World Cup.
Doesn't it?
or drop kicking, of course, it doesn't matter.
Well, that's why Sopoanga is gold, isn't it? The goal kicking option.
Yeah.
And it is terrible. Mate, what kind of guy starts kicking drop kicks in a final, Gary? Hey?
An extra time in a final. Who needs a drop goal specialist?
Well, it's never worked apart from the two World Cups where it has worked. All right.
We need to talk.
Let's talk about Toulon versus the Highlanders in Hong Kong. Can't wait for that.
Yeah, yeah. Highlanders out of season.
Really?
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 I presume it'd be a nice earner for them, but they're going to be on a hiding to nothing because they're out of season. They're going to get spanked.
This is just this isn't actually cement yet, is it, Graham?
I think it's probably quite likely. It could be a good occasion to dust off the DHL Cup too.
The what?
The DHL Cup.
What?
Is that 1905 or something?
What?
No. It was about 3 or 4 years ago. The All Blacks played the Wallabies in Hong Kong for the DHL Cup. Now you can't tell me you have.
Well, I tell you what, I'm waiting for DHL to actually deliver me a pair of bloody Sandus. I bought off Trade Me a pair of Adidas about 2 months ago, mate. So they've probably still got them with the cup, have they? Forgotten about it the same that we have.
Are you the only person in New Zealand that actually knows it was the DHL Cup?
I think you are. Oh, I tell you what, I'd ring and register. I'd get on the Radio Sport website, Graham, and I'd actually register for the Steinlager Rugby Head, if that's the case.
You ask Andrew Mulligan. He knows all about the DHL Cup.
Does he?
All
right. Yeah. He's a big fan of it.
Okay, Jerome Kano's the next issue. There's so many issues with this team.
We need to talk.
Gary, what is it telling you? He's covering lock, isn't he? Does that mean that we don't take a specialist lock? Does that mean the rejig in terms of the 31 means that we may drop a lock and take an extra loose forward?
Well, that is what's being signalled here. I think that would be a mistake because it's such an important part of our game plan at the moment, the way that they are using the locks.
Securing kickoffs,
absolutely.
Big time. Okay.
I think it would be a big mistake. But I don't know how much we do read into this, because if you heard Steve Chu yesterday, he kind of admitted that they were messing around with players and what have you, just to keep a few things up their sleeve. So the whole foxing thing that
Ian Jones
said.
Well,
what
would he know?
Jones,
he's the CEO, mate. He doesn't select the team,
does he? He's
pretty
close to what's going on,
apart
though.
From that, okay, yeah. All right, okay. He's in your daily contact.
They are holding a few things up their sleeves, like team selections that we're seeing at the moment may not actually mean anything come World Cup time. They'd need to see all these players just to cement in their head what they want to do, and that's pretty much what he said yesterday.
I think, are we playing exactly the game plan we're going to play in a quarter-final Rugby World Cup? Clearly not, because that would be foolish. This happens every Rugby World Cup year, doesn't it? I mean, we clearly, in 2011, prioritised the World Cup, the Bledisloe and the Rugby Championship in that order.
And if you listen to that, Graham, I think we've done that again, because remember, we lost back-to-back tests before the Rugby World Cup in 2011.
We certainly have, although in 2011 we did have the advantage of hosting the Rugby World Cup.
So, well, what's that got to do with it?
Well, it's got quite a lot to do with it, actually, because it gave us a big advantage, because we don't lose at Eden Park, and basically all of that World Cup was played at Eden Park.
Okay, apart from that, all right.
I don't like 2011 being used as a benchmark.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, I also don't think we should be terribly upset about losing to the Australians in Sydney. Have you seen Australia play on the other side of the world? They're garbage. You look at the
end-of-year
tours.
They won a World Cup in 1999 on the other side of the world. They won one in 91 on the other side of the world.
Look at the end-of-year tours of late. They are rubbish travellers. They beat us in Sydney.
That's all they got to do, beat us one time.
Yeah, but to be honest, they might struggle. The way they travel, they might struggle to get out of the pool.
Don't sit there all calm and reason, Gary. Hey, we're going to a World Cup. It's time to worry.
We beat South Africa at Ellis Park, and we just lost to Australia in Sydney.
They both have to
travel.
Well, when
Love and Hope was yesterday, Hayden. I've moved on. I live in the now.
Isn't England more of a concern because they're playing at home?
Yes.
Yeah.
Graham?
Oh, I think all the concern. Australia is the only side to win a World Cup in London. Just pointing that one out.
That was a long time ago.
But I think our biggest concern is England, but I wouldn't write the Springboks off either, despite what happened last weekend.
In a one-off game then, let's end this then, boys. In a one-off game, all
we
three of you.
We need to talk.
Who is the one opponent, Graham, in a knockout game that you fear the most?
French.
Oh, okay. Gaz?
No, South Africa.
I go Yarpies, Hayden.
Now, England.
Oh, only because you hate losing to that. Actually, that's
okay. No one's mentioned Australia, the last team that's beaten us.
No.
So you're all cocky and confident, aren't you? This is the problem with you All Black
fans.
Full
of love and
you
hope.
Don't accept reality.
Love and hope, Martin.
Where did that go to? Where did love and hope go to, Graham? I'll tell you where it went. It ended at Old Trafford when you scored the goal for us.
We're still the only people to score for Manchester United this year.